Though I didn't plan it like this, just not to be like that, that we now ended up doing a short series on the will of God in prayer. You understand that? So let me just conclude it today so that it will help people get at least get a very good understanding of what the Bible means when it talks about the will of God. Let's take a few verses as our text for this afternoon. First of all, from the book of 1 John chapter 5, we'll read about three of that, and then it says from verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life, and this is a confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." Like I said, we have been talking about this will of God thing for some time. I just like to put wraps on it today, all right? Finish everything. My initial plan was to talk about what I called learning and praying. And then we ended up talking about the will of God in prayer again. Let's read another one. Let me just read this before we... The book of Matthew chapter 6. This is the... don't bother opening to it. I'll just read it. We all know it very well. In verse 9, it says, "Pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." All right? He said that on earth as it is in heaven. And we have explained this one again and again, that when the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, I just read from verses 9 and 10. In verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We said that what it means is this. What it was saying is that thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. It wasn't saying that thy will be done on earth as you wish it in the heavens or what you desire in heaven, but that which has been recorded in heaven. And the emphasis for us, again, is not that the will of God is not important. It is. We are just saying that the will of God has been revealed and the will of God is recorded. Are you getting my point? Let me say this. You know what he said? If you go down to verse 4 of that 1 John chapter 5, he said, "And whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Now let me explain something to you. The Bible says that a double-minded man does not receive anything from God. You understand that? You've read that before. That's what James said. A double-minded man does not receive anything from God. That is, God expects that we have confidence when we are praying. God expects that our hearts be established, all right? That we shouldn't come thinking that maybe or maybe not. Please, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, so when you were talking about the will of God, God wasn't teaching us that so that we will just leave everything open and we want to pray. Say, "God, if it is thy will." When I began to study the word of faith those days, one of the things that the word of faith teachers try to explain to people is that, before then it was common that people will pray and they will end it with, "If it is thy will." So you see somebody, he's broke and he needs money and he'll pray, "God, send me funds, send me resources," and he'll end it with, "If it is thy will." Are you getting my point? Yeah, that was standard Christian praying. In fact, before the word of faith movement really caught on, it was standard Christian praying. Somebody needs, maybe a man, he's sick, he wants to get well. And then when after praying, he asks it, "If it is thy will." Because people were taught that, you see, the sickness may be God trying to teach you something. And like I said later, after I began to learn that there's some truth to that. But why don't you just learn the lesson quickly? You understand my point? And move on. Rather than establish yourself in that, thinking that that may be the will of God. So people thought that what you do is that it's a matter of humility. They thought that when you want to pray, you are not firm on anything. You are not sure of anything. Always add, "If it is thy will." And the reason is because they read here that Jesus said, that John said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that Jesus said, "Nevertheless, let thy will be done and not mine." You know what he said in that Matthew chapter 26? He said, "If it is possible, let this cup pass away from me." All right? "If it cannot pass unless I drink it, then let thy will be done," he was saying. So we thought that he was leaving things for God to decide. Let me say something to you. In most situations, that becomes a lack of faith. Do you understand my point? it becomes an issue of you don't know what you want, and therefore you are not firm in it. And that's why I read this one. This is a confidence. It said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In fact, when we're studying from that Romans chapter 12, remember I said that Paul explained that people should exercise their gift according to the proportion of their faith. That is, they should do things that they are confident in doing. Are you getting my point? That is, you don't go, for example, you say, okay, you have never preached to a multitude of 1 million people. Then I said that, look, you are the preacher for the day. And you know, they want to start printing your face on poster. You have never preached anywhere. You are going to get there and you are going to have a lot of problems. You understand what I'm saying? So Paul was saying that exercise your gift according to the proportion of your faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, there are things you can do with confidence. I'm bringing an issue here. When it comes to prayer also, we should pray with what? With confidence. And so when the Bible was saying that about the will of God, it wasn't describing the will of God as something that is abstract. The fact is that the will of God has been revealed. And when Jesus said, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. You understand what I mean? That's the one that was not sure. Nevertheless, what? Thy will be done. Let thy will be done. He knew that one. You get what I'm saying? He was committing himself because he said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour. You can read that from John chapter 12. He said, but for this cause, I came to this hour. So he knew that that was something that, oh boy, this is the will of God. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. So when he said it, he wasn't leaving it in doubt, really. He was committing himself to that which has been revealed. Go and read that John chapter 12. His soul was sorrowful within him. He now said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no, I can't pray that prayer. When that hour came, it was like almost like a wish. If it's possible, let this thing pass me by. But I'm not asking for it. He said, I am saying thy will be done. And that will he had come to discover. In fact, it's because of his knowledge of his will, of that will, that he came to that point of prayer. Are you getting my point? It's because of his knowledge of that will, that was why he refused to call down 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him at that hour. So that when Peter began to fight on his behalf, he said, listen, it is not lack of weapon. That's not the reason why we are being arrested. The reason why we are being arrested is because we have discovered that this is the will of God, so let it be done. We are establishing again that the will of God is recorded. I'm trying to get to something. You'll see what I'm saying in a moment. Nothing new. We have discussed it again and again. Just need to admonish people about it. We're trying to get to the point that the will of God is what? Recorded. What did I say? The will of God is what? Let me hear you. The will of God is what? The will of God is recorded. And as I'm talking about learning and praying, can I remember that? And that's what I want to remind us of again. For that, I'll conclude everything today. Now, let's read this again just to help us from Daniel chapter 9. What am I saying? The will of God is what? Recorded. And if we are going to come in confidence, if we are going to come in faith, it is going to be because we have discovered that which is recorded. There's one prayer we pray all the time. It says, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I will acquire life. That is, when I have understanding, I will know what is mine. When I have understanding, I will be able to come to God in confidence in the time of prayer. When I have understanding, I will have a steadiness of heart when I have to pray. Now, okay, Daniel chapter 9, right? He said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, verse 2 says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, I like King James, understood by books the number of the years. I like the way King James renders this very well. He said, I understood by books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now let me just stop there. Now, this is where we have been trying to get to all this while, trying to talk about this will of God thing, this issue of learning and praying. What did I call it? Learning and praying. Now, and I think I've finally gotten to what I want to say, so I can settle down. Now, enough of reading the scriptures. Let me start talking. You know, I've told us this story before. Once I finished preaching on radio, actually, and next day I went to work. And one of my friends, a senior colleague, he was unhappy with what I said, you understand, on radio. Okay? And I still remember the prayer, some of the things I said in that preaching that day. I remember I said that I had just gotten married. And I went one of those days, I mean, a few months after I got married, I went to a bookshop. And I was going through books. And I saw a book titled Childless But Not Less, Helping Couples Cope with Childlessness. And I said, I will pass. Thank you. I don't want to read. I don't want to learn how to cope with childlessness. Which kind of prophetic utterance is this one? I just got married. You understand what I'm saying? And you are trying to help me to cope. All right? I said that in the radio. I said, there are many things people say. I said, no, I don't want to hear. There are prayers. In fact, I told a story. A friend of mine, a colleague also, when I was a resident, he gave me a book on a story by an HIV patient. An AIDS patient. These are the early days of AIDS and HIV. This man was infected because before they started treating, blood products before they give people. He had hemophilia. Hemophilia patients, for those who do not know, they can't clot blood, all right? If they injure, they bleed for a very long time. You know, normally if you injure, you press the place. After a few minutes, the blood stops. This one, they will bleed for a very, very long time, all right? And the way they treat, because the reason is because there's a particular clotting factor that they don't make. They have this genetic abnormality that does not allow them make it. So the way they get a clotting factor is to get from people who make, which is flowing all over your blood, and they pull the blood together, concentrate the factor, and give to them. You understand? Now, before the days of HIV, some of the people donating blood for formation of a clotting factor, all right, before the days of testing, all right, so the guy got infected along the line like that. That's how he was a good Christian. That's how he got infected. So he wrote the book on how he lived with, either him or some of his friends, wrote the book on how he lived with HIV. And then when I finished the book, the last portion of how he died. So he died watching television. Who cares whether he died watching them smoking Indian hemp? He's dead. He died very peacefully. Jesus is Lord. He's dead. He died rejoicing. He was 30-something. He's dead. So I was very angry. So I gave my friend the book back. I read the whole book. I endured the whole book. Listen, I'm a doctor. So there was nothing inside there that I didn't know would happen. I took the book because I wanted to know some things that are unusual. So I gave my friend back. Peju, that was her name, my neighbor. He said, you enjoyed the book? I said, no. He said, why? You expected him to get healed? I said, yes, that's how I'm a Christian. I was very angry. You know, you were like, that's how some of you behave. Yes, that's how I behave. That's how I behave. What is the story in that you fell sick and you died? I don't know what I get what I'm going to explain. Look, listen. I took her straight. Oh, you expect him to say, oh, praise God. I will praise God in every situation. If you behead me right now, I praise God. As I'm going, if you take me, chop off my two hands, I will continue to praise God. You can't take that thing from my mouth. So that level of praise God, I will give it to the book. But I'll recommend this book to somebody else. That's how you know whether I enjoyed it or not. I said, no. If I have somebody who I know who is infected with HIV, I said, don't read that book. Don't read that book. That book is going to ruin your faith. Don't read it. Why didn't I read it? What was the story? If you know Americans, they like to write a lot. That's another one of those funny things. Just write, okay, I woke up in the morning, praise God. I smoked, praise God. I slept, praise God. I woke up. I asked her simply, what has this book taught me? Why did I read it? She said, yes, I came to get healed. I said, yes, that is why. Now, I'm going somewhere. I said to her, that is why I'm a Christian. I expect the miraculous. Are you getting my point? Yes, I expect strange things to happen. They came to a young woman and said, you are going to have a child. I said, how can these things be? Seeing that I don't know any man, I'm not married, you know the situation, an angel. He said, good, that's why I've come to tell you a new thing. No word of God shall be void of power. With God, all things are possible. I want to know the things that I have not yet seen that are possible. Are you talking about that? I didn't like the book because the man died. Yes, I'm used to people dying. I work in hospitals where they die. Tell me why they don't have to die. That's what I want to read. Please, I'm going somewhere. Talking about learning and praying. So these are the stories I told. Let me not even forget where I started from. I told that, and I went as a young married man. I think we're just less than a year married. And he showed me a book. And I didn't have a child yet. Neither was my wife pregnant. Are you getting my point? He now showed me a book, How to Cope with Childlessness. I mean, that's how angry I felt. Ah, what kind of nonsense is this? Ah, I never start. You don't begin set me up for failure. It's like going out to say how to cope with bankruptcy. You're just opening your business. You're just opening your business. How to cope with business failure. You are just opening your business. Well, leave that to men who have failed in business. And they have failed 7, 8 times, you know, because the 7th time the Lord should still raise him up. Maybe he has now failed the 8th time. Okay, give him that book. The man that has failed 4 times, don't give him the book. Please, I hope you are following my principle. And please, I'm going somewhere. Where I'm going is this. Listen, you must raise your expectation in life. You must. I like the way men say it. They say it's better to shoot for the sun and hit the moon than shoot for the earth and get it all. Raise your aim. Shoot at the sun. If you miss it, maybe you hit the moon. You hit one of the stars passing by. At least you have moved up to another level. So that day, I finished preaching that thing on air. I said it extensively. I said, look, come on, don't make excuses. In fact, you've heard me say it. I don't want excuses that will entrench the work of the devil in my life. Allow me build my faith. It took Abraham 25 years to build his faith and his walk with God to a level where God could release that thing upon him. You understand that? Don't say you've been doing it for 20 years, time to give up. No. 25 years, this guy was walking day and night with God. At a point in time, he hit that point. He entertained some strangers, not knowing they were angels. And God said, good. Now this man has filled the cup. It's now time for an overflow. And that overflow manifested in the birth of Isaac. Put my eyes on that. Please, I hope you have followed what I'm going to explain. That's the principle. I finished explaining that to my friend. He heard it. And I said, ah! They heard me preach what he called a pick and choose gospel. You know they call pick and choose? And I've heard Christians, later on I heard Christians talk about it, that Christianity is not a supermarket. You go in, you know when you enter a supermarket, if you wanted bread, you buy the bread, and you see the tomato there, you don't want it, you leave it. That Christianity is not a supermarket. It's a holistic thing. You take the whole thing as God gives it to you. And this is where I'm coming to. And I said, I agree with you totally. Christianity is not pick and choose. You have to take everything that God gives you. But this is a question for you again today. Which one did God give me? Which one is the devil giving me? Are you getting my point? After all, we know in the scriptures that Jesus said there was a time the righteous people went to plant the righteous seed. Then while men slept, the enemy went there and sowed corrupted seeds in the midst of them. And both of them were growing and looking alike. Are you getting my point? And people at the point, they say, no, we didn't plant all of this. And they said, an enemy has done this. That is, there will be things growing around you that God did not plant. Abi? So Christianity is not pick and choose. We pick everything that God has given us and we reject the one that the devil is trying to give to us. You are getting my point? Now, how do we know the difference? That's why we are saying all of these things. Let's say it again. The will of God is recorded. No, say it. The will of God is recorded. Please, I want you to wave your Bible like this as you say it. Say, the will of God is recorded. Let's say it again. The will of God is recorded. Listen, that's a summary of it. That's a summary of it. It is not desires. You see, that's one thing people don't understand. We are not saying, you see, when was I preaching, maybe name it and claim, what people call name it and claim it gospel. They thought you were saying that anything you want, just claim it. That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that there are things that God has given, and we must claim everything. Are you getting my point? There are things that God has given, and we must do what? Claim everything. There's one portion of the Bible I would like us to read. Very interesting. Because this was what Jephthah said. Judges chapter 11. The words of Jephthah, I think. Just one verse there I want to highlight because of the thing we are talking about. The people of Israel were summoned to battle. Jephthah was leading them. What happened was that somebody wanted to claim the territory that God had given them. And that's how your life is. So. He said, the thief comes not but to do what? What's the first word? What's the first word?
Steal.
He comes not but to steal. There are things that God has given. He wants to take away. Are you getting my point? God had given the people of Israel land. And the king of the Ammonites decided that he wanted to collect it back. And he said, it is because Israel took away my land when they came up from Egypt, from the Arnon, as far as the Jabbok and the Jordan. Therefore, he said to them, return them peaceably now. That's verse 13, Judges chapter 11. But if you read further down, which is where I want us to read, you know, Jephthah replied him and told a very long story of how the land became their own. Are you getting my point? At the end of the day, look at what he said in verse 24. He said, okay, let me start from verse 22. He says, so they possessed all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok, and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. Since now the Lord, the God of Israel, drove out the Amorites from before his people, are you then to possess it? In that said in verse 24, do you not possess what Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? He says, so whatever the Lord our God has driven out before us, we will possess it. That is, when your own God gives you something, you hold on to it. He said, God has cleared the land and handed it over to us. He said, our intention is to what? Hold on to it. What am I saying? That's how Christianity is. Is it pick and choose? No, it's not pick and choose. In that anything God gives us, we take it. We don't reject anyone. But it is pick and choose in that we are careful to pick only that which he has given. And we are careful to choose only that which he delivered to us. And I'm saying it again. How do we know it? Therefore, it is what? Because the will of God is recorded. I was going to say something. Let me quickly say it. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and such a man should not think he will receive anything from the hands of God. You know the way I like to explain it? You know, the other day I stood outside, and I saw one old model of Mercedes-Benz drive by, and I shook my head. I said, my God, there was a time if you told me I wouldn't drive that car, I would think you're a prophet of the devil. Because I loved it so much. In fact, when Benz changed the model then, I felt bad that they changed the shape. Do you know now, if you dash me the car, brand new, I will thank you, you understand my point? But the kind of gratitude that will come out of me, you'll be disappointed. See this large motor where I just give this guy, just they behave like this. That is the love for it. It has worn off. Experience in life has taught me some things. I have driven different kinds of cars. At the end of the day, I look at that car and say, you mean this is a car that if they said, look, let's just chop off your little finger, we'll give you one those days, I'll have been tempted to agree. What am I saying? My faith was not steady on that matter because it's shifting ground. You know the way they say it? Shifting sand. If you build your faith, you know, lock it onto material things, one day, that's why God has not even answered, because, you know, the Lord can see from the realm of the spirit. He can see what is faith and what is just ordinary covetousness. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, he can see it. He can see what is envy. Everybody else is doing it. I mean, how come you have not done it? So you go, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And God is saying, look, cool. He said, boys, let her exercise. Let him exercise. You know, some when they are praying, they go, they sweat. So God said, leave him. He will lose weight like that. The prayer is not going anywhere. Why? Because the Lord can see there's no faith in it. What am I saying again? The only thing that you can build your faith on and it will not shake is the word of God. That is the only thing you can lock your faith on. 20 years after, it wouldn't shake. You know, if you read my book, Shall I Say Yes? I told a story that one of our sisters, Odegua, one day she asked me a question. She said, I wasn't married then. That what exactly do you like in a woman, you know? And I gave her the story you've read in the book, Shall I Say Yes? Those things I said that I told them to her in a few sentences. And she made a statement that I asked you this question 2 years. I didn't even remember. So I asked you this question 2 years ago. These were the very same things you told me. You understand what I'm saying? I said, these were the very same things you told me.
She said it. Why? And I told her, listen, because they were not formed by human ideas. I did not even know I'd had those ideas for that long. But because they were not formed by human ideas, they were not formed by human desires, they were formed upon the word of God. But you see, when I look over my life, if you ask me which kind of woman, physically speaking, do you like, I can remember changing my mind at least 3 or 4 times. It depends on which film you watched recently. It's true. All this one that you go to Okpara Square, you see everybody jogging. I look at them sometimes. Half of them are not jogging for health sake. They are jogging for reading, for watching too much TV. Watching E on the DSTV. It's true. That's all. Most of the... I would just look at them joking. I said, look at these people. I mean, I was a child, all right? But I still remember the days when there was no chance for you if you didn't have weight. But it has changed. That's how you, so I tell people, say, people tell me that which weight is good. I say, once you can run up the stairs and not die, you're okay. Are you getting my point? Once you can carry yourself with confidence, you're okay. The rest is here. I'm trying to look at the issue. See, then, of course, I personally changed my mind many times. I still remember very well when we watched 10 Commandments. That's the story of Moses and Co. leaving Egypt. And I saw the Egyptian men, that's pharaohs, the princes of Egypt, and the princesses of Egypt, their wives. And I formed an idea in my mind. But when that sister asked me that question, I said things to her which those ones were born of the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? And they endured. So that years later, after she asked me the fact, I forgot. She asked me again. I repeated the same things. Why? That's the word of God. You are getting what I'm saying? The only thing you can build your faith on, and it will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, is the word of God. And therefore, whatever is not described in the word of God, don't lock your faith on it. And I mean it literally. Let me give an example. My idea of ministry has changed in the last 10 years. Well, okay, let me say, dramatically in the last 15 years. It has. If I had to pray a prayer 15 years ago concerning ministry, it's not what I prayed, I would have prayed then that I will be praying today over the last few years. No. Because suddenly what is pushing me is different now. When I want to pray now, if you know the kind of prayer I pray about, my eye is always, okay, let me say, 88.7% of the times, my eye is outside this window. That I don't see within here. I always see, if I lift up my head like Abraham, now satellite at a count. When I'm traveling, it's radio station I'm listening to. You get my point? If I see people doing principle of church growth, you know, I don't remember to listen to them. I just pass. But if I'm going on the road, which station is that one? When you come from Abuja last time, we had to come by a road coming back. We left late, and I didn't want to sleep again in Abuja that night. So we came back, got to Enugu around then past 9. On the way, there was one radio station that we listened to more than half. The journey was 7 hours, a little more than 7 hours. There was one radio station we listened to for at least 4 hours. So trust now. By next morning, we're on the phone calling them. Hello? our name is Kingdom World Ministries. We're calling you from Enugu. They are based in Lokoja. That's as we are traveling. I say, maybe this is why the Lord said we should go back by this road. You understand? I'm saying that's where my mind is fixed on. Next morning, we're already calling and discussing, okay, how much for 30 minutes? Okay, if we take, you know, we're already negotiating. The negotiation didn't work out because they were asking for a price, which we told them it would be ungodly to pay them the price. But the point I'm making is that, you see, where my mind is focused on is different. But on doing the will of God for my life, that one cannot change. Because that's the one that is recorded. You understand my point? We read of where God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. And we said that applies to everybody. There are things that God commanded that I should do before I was born, which is the reason why life was given to this person. You are getting my point? Now, we can lock our faith on things like that. Locking your faith on outward things will turn you to a double-minded man, a double-minded woman, unstable in all his or her ways, unable to receive anything from God. The only way, therefore, we're talking about learning and, you know, praying. The only thing, way to make sure there's stability in your soul in the area of faith when it comes to the matter of prayer is by building it according to God's word. building your faith only by it. Now, this point I'm making, that is, whatever God has driven out before us, that we will possess. Whatever God has cleared and said, this is our own, that's what we'll possess. The only way we'll discover is that which is written. Very important. That's why it's important you understand doctrine. Oh, it's important you understand the word of God and the will of God. It is important. It is important because we've talked about the power of resonance before. If your mind can conceive the direction that God wants you to go, if you pray, the prayer will be, the answer will be speedy. It will come down to you quickly. That is a matter of fact. The problem we have with faith and prayers are most of those that are just generated by outward-born desires. In Christianity, our desires don't come from outside. They come first from inside. It's how the inside is interacting with the outside. That is what forms our desires. Things that are just outside, all they give us is the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. In case you do not know, that is why the world is in economic turmoil today. The loss of the eyes. In fact, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday evening. I said, listen, the way banking, as an example, is done in Nigeria, not Nigeria, the world today, sorry, not Nigeria, the world. I said, it's satanic. I had to slow down to say it. In fact, in Nigeria today, is satanic twice. There is a general principle of satanism worldwide. Then there is a local added. Yes, I have my reason. I have my reason for saying it. Now, the reason why I just dropped that. Those are the things that are causing turmoil in the world. Go and look for deposit. They bring deposit finish. Go and look for who will borrow it. Go get home at night, you are panting. How much deposit have you brought? Oh, God, don't try now. 200 million. How much have you lent out of the 200 million? Well, if they don't pay that money, they hang you. That is the Nigerian satanic side of it. There's a general satanic side of it that, listen, we lend you the umbrella when rain is not falling. Once rain begins, we collect it back. Say, this man may not be able to return it once he starts using it. Please, I'm trying to make that an issue, all right? I'm just talking about the worldly system. So you see, that's just one part of the worldly system, all right? What I want to bring out from there is the issue of worldliness. You see, worldliness, because people's desires were brought from outside. You see a man buy an iPad now. A few weeks after, they release iPad 2, which was designed before they finished producing iPad 1. You can be sure of that. Yeah, no, come on. Think about how can Apple make an iPad in the year 2000, when they released it a few years ago, and they didn't put a camera. It's a deliberate oversight. They are not stupid. Samsung has been putting cameras on phones for more than 10 years before that. It's a deliberate oversight. As soon as you are settling with it, they bring iPad 2. As you are relaxing with it, there's iPad 3. Before you finish peeling the back on your Samsung Galaxy S2, Galaxy S3 is there, telling you all the inferiorities in Galaxy S2. You can make your call, you can do text, you can browse anywhere. In fact, you can browse beyond the web. You can browse on Pluto. On S2. But they not tell you on S3, the phone knows when you are falling asleep. Why should my phone know when I'm falling asleep? What advantage? Look, I have no problem with it, but I'm not changing my phone just because a new one knows when I'm falling asleep. I know when I'm falling asleep. I don't need a phone to recognize when I'm falling asleep. Said, the phone understands you. Are you my wife? This phone understanding me. And you see, one young boy in China sold his kidney to buy an iPad. His father just saw the boy with an iPad and some fine phones. What didn't happen? He said, the boy get scar for here. The doctor removed his kidney, gave him enough money to buy an iPad and a few phones and some sneakers. Desires that are born from outside. That's what I'm trying to explain. It leads the world into perdition. You go to America, that was the cause of their problem. A man is comfortable, the house is big enough. One satanic banker shows up and says, we can collateralize this house while giving you a loan 10 times this size, and look at the kind of $1 million investment, you know, your house is your own. All you, and he said, no, why are you worrying about the price? You can finance it. Come on. And this man will pack his wife, his children, into a house beyond his ability to pay for. When things outside dictate our desires, that's what happens. Of course, you know the way all flesh is what? Grass. Whatever is born of flesh is grass. He said the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. Shortly after, the man had to pack out of that house, except that there's no house to pack into. Without talking about the collapse of that sector of their economy, the summary of it is this. It was born by what? Outward desires, flesh. What am I teaching to Christians? Let's interact with the Word of God until it gives birth to desires inside us. The example I gave last time, sometimes let's look at it from both angles. There are those who think they are very humble. And God said, humility described the way you are describing it is not humility, it's coming, it's called running away in the day of battle. What do I mean? The man says, all I'm looking for in life is just enough money to. He thinks he's humble that I'm not going to buy a house bigger than my size. I'm going to return and live in that dog house that my grandfather left behind. Small enough for two people to squeeze inside. I'm not covetous. And God now wakes him up from the word of God. That before I blessed Abraham, he had to entertain strangers unawares. Where is your stranger going to stay? One day I told a friend of mine, and I wonder, I'm going to surprise him, we show up in his house, he lives abroad. And he quickly dropped it on me that this whole house is just the size of my, I live in Transekulu, size of my sitting room and my dining area. And I smiled, I told my wife, he's very stupid. Did they force it upon him or he chose that one? I said, I have friends who live in the same area. Because they said it to my ears, we know you guys have to visit one day. Therefore, we have to get a bigger sized house. And one of my friends in the U.S., that he was about to choose a house, he said, they had two to choose from. His preference was for the bigger one. This was in the U.S. He wasn't going to show to anybody. It's the official quarters. It was a resident doctor. He said his preference was for the bigger one because he said, I still remember his words, you guys have to come and visit one of these days. By any time, look, for me personally, I hate noise. You know, someone by noise. You may see me making noise because I'm a preacher. But actually, I like solitude. I like it. I like my life very quiet. And I found in scriptures that I must also be hospitable. So I prayed to God to give me a hospitable wife. I did. And a very big house. And every house I move into, there are two things I choose first. That's after my own bedroom. I pick a guest room and I pick a study. That's why since I came to town, the first house I moved in, I had 5 bedrooms. I didn't have any child, or just my wife and I. The house had 5 bedrooms. The next one I moved to had 2 sitting rooms and 5 bedrooms. The next one has 6 bedrooms, 2 sitting rooms, and a driving garage. What are you doing with 5 big houses? Some people will tell me that I can't. You want to visit them, they stylishly tell you that there's no space. I always make allow. One room must be free for my guest anytime. Why? That is how to entertain angels unawares. Just by the way, let me tell you, look, I'm digressing, but let me tell you, part of the principle of prosperity people did not understand. That's what they confuse Christian prosperity with covetousness. One major reason why I must live in a big house is that what I've told you. I must be hospitable. That's one major reason. And like I told you, I need quiet. You know, I'm a preacher of the word of God. God must be able to talk to me with peace of mind. So in my house, I like the idea. When my children are making us, everybody downstairs. And suddenly upstairs, You know, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice. So sometimes you have to stay in the spirit like that so you can hear something. It's not covetousness. You get my point? It's part of functionality in life. That's what it is. People don't understand. They need, what are you doing? Listen. When the word of God interacts with you, when it enters into you, it teaches you things you need to do in life. If you don't want to go naked, you must have at least two shirts. Because one day you must give one to somebody. So if you have only one, you are going to walk naked one day. So, you see, are you getting my point? I'm going to read the scripture. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having what? All sufficiency in all things. We are bound unto every good work. Giving out of poverty is wilderness experience. That is a testing phase. It's a trying phase. It's a time in which God is testing you to see what's inside your heart. When he has established that you have a good thing inside your heart, listen, you will never have to give out of lack in your life. When David gave for the building of the temple, he said, I have given out of my private treasury all of these things. He wasn't pleased though. This work is so good. Somebody come and help me now. He said, I gave until it pained me. As poverty giving, amen? When a good man is giving out of poverty, it will pain him. I don't know what I get my point. Yes, when a good man, you are good, you want to help. So you bring out of the one you don't have. It will tear your body small, you know. It will enjoy you. It's good. Did I say it's bad? I said it's a wilderness experience. It's a training phase in life. But when God has established you, you will tell TBN that don't worry, four of us can, you know, that's $1 million a day. You know TBN spends $1 million a day. You've not heard that before? Not today. That was maybe 5 years ago. I said, no, I don't know how much they spend. $1 million a day. So, wow, that's a lot of money. It is. But do you know Warren Buffett can pay and not know he did anything? Warren Buffett can pay for a few years and you know, it won't scratch him. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. Warren Buffett can pay for a few years alone and it will hardly be noticed in his body. Bill Gates, I don't know about now, but then he could fund that for a number of years without exerting any energy. They will pay him dividends in 1 year. It's $4 billion. He can give, if he wanted to, he could give that to TBN. And tell TBN, when you finish spending it, call me back. That's going to take you 4 years. 10 years, sorry. At less than $400 million a year. How long is that? 10 years. So, may God bless you.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. not say he sold shares, that they gave him dividends. You know the way GTB sends you 2005 and you're like, that my investment is producing. At the end of the year, you give a man money and TBN can't spend it in 10 years. When I first told you $1 million a day, your eye opened. Now, I've told you something else. Now, what's going to open again? Maybe your head. And like one article that I was reading, we published in our magazine that we're talking about, I read it on Charisma. But someone like that, Warren Buffett, man, I think he owns only one house. I don't know how many he owns, but I know he has lived in the same house for 40 years. 40 years, the same house. Maybe 4 bedrooms. For 40 years. Please understand. So, people understand how we are preaching prosperity. It's not about, praise God, I'm using my new car. You know people were raised in poverty and their brains have not been delivered from poverty. Peter Daniels, I told you about, they said the man owns, each time he has one pair of shoes and one car. Yet, the man has given out hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars offering. Please, I'm bringing an issue. So you see, that's how the word of God is. Oh. Some people were thinking that your vision in life before now, once I graduate, start my own business, me too, I must build a house. You know, there are things that angels want to obtain permission to flog you over. You're making it a goal and vision in your life. Me too, I must build a house. So it's an achievement. Next time, I'm going to talk about things you must not pray about. I will challenge you about some things. Go and read the scriptures. Jesus said, these are things that only Gentiles pray about. That these are prayer points for Gentiles. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, one day, me too will fly a plane and I will go abroad. I must see that Dubai, I must see that London. In the name of Jesus Christ. Embarrassment in heaven. He said, did you hear that prayer? If it was possible, we would have shut the door so that God wouldn't know what's going on there. This is embarrassment. That's a prayer point. You go and take a picture of Los Angeles and put it on your wall. One day. Oh, please, don't do it again, amen? Let me tell you the kind of thing you will do. I told you last time, or a few times, some time ago, that your son will come from school. And you know what he came to tell you? And that they can John come with us. Who is John? His friend in school. That is, you have to pay the flight for John. Give John pocket money because he's your son's friend. And then I didn't tell you this one. Your daughter was also here. And that, you know, Angela too would like to come. And you're not talking about it though. It's not as if, let me ask your mother what she thinks about spending this amount of money. That is, listen, that is, the disturbance is more expensive than the flight ticket money. I told about the man that they stole his car and the driver ran down home. The wife said, if you wake him up, he will sack you. What did they disclose? They stole maybe a Land Cruiser. Just ordinary Land Cruiser, 14 million. Now you won't wake him up. And truth, when the man woke up, like, what happened? They told the car, okay, who sold it to us that time? Call them whether they have another one. It's not, let's go to the DPO. We have to go and see the DPO. That was the man that like I gave him the gist that on his birthday, everybody got, they bought him a brand new, not too small, that Jaguar. He got there and said, no, they know this kind of, they cover your eyes, say, surprise, surprise. So they got, okay, daddy, come, surprise, surprise, they got there. They open his eye and then he showed him the car. I said, the man looks, man, that's a car for the boys, man. He thanked everybody, went back to the house. He never remembered the car again. Never entered it, never opened the door. Not out of pride, though. He didn't remember. And everybody gathered, said, what will we buy for this man? His birthday. They finally gathered themselves, bought a very beautiful Jaguar. And they came and showed. And he thanked everybody, blessed them. And you know, from inside the house, he came and saw the car. Thanked everybody. Said, that's a very nice car. Man, this is a young man's car, man. You know, young at heart. You know, healed everybody. But he spoke in Yoruba. He said, moto awon boys near. You know, that kind of thing. That's how he said it. And he went back to the house and never one day stepped into it. Not because he was proud, though. The old man didn't remember. You know why? There are too many. Car is not his problem. It's you that say, praise God, tomorrow morning I'm going to go and shop with that. You know, he didn't remember. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is the point I'm making from there? That people need to understand, that is what the word of God stirs up inside you. And I will say, you must understand sound doctrine. I was saying that. You must. Once I listened to a man, and this is a man who I believe is extremely skilled in the word of God. And he described his season. I believe he has passed that season, at least to a large extent. An old man now. He described a season in his life in which he described how money was with him. If you needed 50 naira or $50, you have like 51. Maybe next time you have 49. He was always on the edge. Listen to this. He was a faithful tither. So when he walks in the withholding tax of tithe, into his needs, you know what they call withholding tax? Some of you do business contracts, you know what I'm talking about. You now say, God, I need $85. God will actually give him $85.50 or $86. Now, I listened to him one day and he was talking. After I listened to the whole thing, and he was speaking so glowingly about that season. So that one day when he did $85 and he got $150, he got confused. He actually had to pray, God, what this $70 on top? Is somebody going to fall sick? Is this emergency money in case of crisis? He was a bit confused, like, what do I do with this $70 extra? And I remember, as when I was reading that, I said, sir, they did not teach you about the God of abundance. Listen, nobody knows everything. And that's how you must continue learning. They did not. I was with a pastor yesterday. We were just talking a few days ago, maybe not yesterday. And he described one big fellowship in Nigeria that he preached to. For every month, he would come do a program for them or preach for them. And for 12 months, they did not one day give him transport fare. And that the last day in December, one woman said, oh, you have been such a blessing. She dashed him 500 naira. Well, that was some time ago. Let's assume it's today. And the woman dashed him 2,000 naira after 1 year of laboring for them monthly. I said to him, I said, don't be angry with them. They were not taught. I mean, an issue. Listen, doctrine is important. The word of God must stir something inside you. That's what I'm going to bring out. This man, with all the knowledge he had, he, for one reason or the other, his eyes skipped that area. The revelation was not given to him, and he was living on the edge for decades. Listen to me, it's not humility, it's ignorance. The same God that drew in $85 could have brought 850. Are you getting my point? It's whether you understand. Listen, you may say, what will he do with it? It is selfishness if you tell me what will he do with it. What that means simply is that in the time of crisis, nobody can get $30 from him. That's all it means. Let's stop being selfish. It means in the time of crisis, if somebody needed $10, he did not have it to give. When I read that, I said, this is ignorance. I don't mean it as an insult. I said, somebody did not preach to him the God of abundance. And when they did, he rejected the doctrine. And listen, and that's a matter of fact. Listen, I told you before, when it comes to the move of God, people talk about the move of God, that this move has passed. I said, moves don't pass. They come, establish something in you until that thing becomes normal. Then another move comes to establish something in you, adding normalcy in that area to the former normal you had. When the gospel of prosperity came, please, anybody who rejects that gospel rejects it to his own peril. Everything comes with excesses. Most of the boys who call themselves men, this is their preach prosperity, don't know anything about it. I see them. What do they know? All they know how to do is raise offering. I was somewhere the other day, somebody gave an offering of 10,000 naira. The following day, he made a million. That's not what we're talking about. All they do is raise offering. All the apostles of prosperity that I know, they are offering raisers. They don't know jack about prosperity. The true prosperity message, when it came, those who got it, you understand my point? The abundance entered into their lives. Doesn't mean they became covetous. It just means if TBN is going to spare, and TBN is not the only Christian network that's going to be on this side, you know. And I told you before, TBN is a church network. Christian network, I'll tell you about Christian network. Christian network does not carry the name church. It's just a network. It can just be a business network. That's the real Christianity. That's what I'm talking about. Real Christianity. It doesn't have to. That is. Let me not even go there. I don't have time to explain it. The point I'm making is that when TBN had to come and spend $1 million a day, the money had to come from somewhere. If you have not believed the gospel of prosperity, you cannot participate in that. That's what it means. So when the word of God comes into somebody, it stirs up desires, it stirs up prayer points. And those prayer points are the will of God. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, let me just drop this one for you. I was just saying that TBN is good, though. I'm not saying it's not good, but it's church network. What I'm talking about is Christian network. Christian. You know, for example, I was reading something on Charisma Magazine. They're talking about how a homosexual man took a gun, went to a place where these conservative people, mostly Christians, had their office, and decided to shoot and kill people. He injured the guard.
But the guard was strong and alert, and God, I believe, gave him the wisdom and the strength. He wrestled the gunman down, took his gun from him, and held him till police came. Now, this is the gist about it. Number one, he did not shoot the gunman. Did you notice? He wrestled the guy down. Being injured, he was shot in one arm. With the other arm, he wrestled this man, collected the man's gun, held the man until police showed up. He didn't shoot that guy. Typical American law allows you to shoot him and kill him there. He did not. What am I saying? True Christian man. This is the point about it. The best coverage he got in any TV network in America was 20 seconds. This is the gist I'm giving you. The best coverage on TV was 20 seconds. But if it was a homosexual gathering, and one conservative, whether it's a Christian, a Muslim, or a pagan, shows up and fires into the air to disperse them, and they killed him, you will watch it on CNN for a week. They will show it every day. They will have discussions on how the Christians and the conservatives are spreading hate. How they are making people hate homosexuals. Can you see? Can you see? If somebody blows up an abortion clinic, you will see it every day for 1 week. How these conservatives are spreading hatred. But when it was the other way around, when a homosexual man went fired to kill at a gathering at the office of conservatives and Christians, injuring one of them, and that one did not even kill him when he wrestled him down, the TV people didn't want to show it at all. Ravi Zacharias described how they did a major program on a campus. The campus magazine did not carry it. Yet, there was a gay parade. It was cover, front cover. Please, I'm bringing an issue for you. You see that the world has an agenda. Are you getting what I'm saying? Satan has an agenda. Now, let me get back to why I brought up the issue. So, when we're talking about a Christian network, it is not that we shout, we're a Christian broadcasting zone. No. It is that we see news and we are fair in broadcasting. You get what I'm saying? And this is Jesus I'm coming to. Nobody is going to give you an offering that time. You know, TBN, people give them offering. But to run a real Christian principle network, it may be a basic business. Nobody's giving you an offering. You need as much money as TBN has, yet nobody's going to give you an offering. Where would the money come from? I'll tell you where to come from. You'd better have believed in the gospel of prosperity. Because if that word had been inside you, it will come out and produce double the amount that you need. All this one of all I need in my life is just one small car to carry my children to school. Enough money to take care of my single wife and 4 children I'm going to have. In fact, why should you have 4 children? Things are hard these days. You have 1.5 if allowed. And they come to church thinking that I'm a humble person. All these people that believe in prosperity, they don't know the word of God. They are proud. No, it's ignorance. It is what? Ignorance. That's why I wrote that book. So we pay for this. If I was discussing with the man of God that I was with a few days ago, I told him that he was angry. I said, oh God, don't be angry with people. I said, do you know I went to preach somewhere and a consultant, listen, a specialist doctor did not know in the year 2011, that was last year, he did not know that Kingdom World Ministries was paying to be on television. I don't know what I heard what I said. A committed Christian, they invited me for a program. Committed, say, oh God, we don't see you on television again. I wrote the book inside that book, so we'll pay for this. Oh God, we don't see you on television again. I don't tell you, we're just talking about, those were even wasting our money. He said, which money? I said, 30 minutes. We're paying 32,000 naira. If you saw us on that TV station, that was Kingdom Africa when they started. You know, we were on Kingdom Africa for some weeks. I said, each 30 minutes you saw us, we were paying 32,000 naira. The guy's mouth opened. I had to help him bring the mouth back up. That was a joke anyway. So I said, what did you think? He said, Oga, you were paying. I said, wait, come. What did you think? He said, he thought that my message was so powerful, they just said to go. I said, I wish it was so. But it's not so. You see that when you cross your leg, you watch us, 32 grand just dropped. Every minute, 1K.
a little extra. I began to give him facts and figures. When I tell you in Kingdom World, we spend like 400K a month. It's paying broadcast. Oh, you think it is free? Oh my God, it's not free. This month I have to give them $1,250 for this month we are in. A friend of mine came from UK when we were driving. I said, I heard that. So we were just talking. We were on Cosmo that time. And I mentioned how much we were paying. He was driving. We were on Bisala Road here. He was surprised. You give them money. What is wrong with you people? You give them money. I said, wait. Why do you think Cosmo is broadcasting us? And he thought we were providing content for them. Yee. That time, each 30 minutes on Cosmo was 15,000 naira. And it was cheap. Ha! Do you know? Okay, that's why I wrote the book. So we'll pay for this. Many people don't realize this thing is being paid for. And when those who finally realized it, Oga must have money. But they went to the back of his house, they saw the tree. And the money go plug gold. Sell out for market. That's how some people think. That's how you sit down, you are preaching. People will be writing you a letter, please, I have school fees to pay. I say, come and collect it. When you reach, I'll tell you what it is. You thought it was come and collect the school fees. No, come and collect beating. When you reach, I will beat common sense into your brain. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, the point I just make it, look, listen. For you to be able to participate in paying for that, it's not about having money. Somebody says it's not about having money. What is it about? It's about having doctrine. It's about having understanding. It's about having knowledge. It's about knowing the truth. When you have understanding, you have the correct doctrine, you have the knowledge. Listen, you will wake up one day, the Bible says that he's able to make all grace abound towards you. That you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound unto every good work. Listen, I don't believe churches you go, we are doing launching, you invite politician, you invite businessmen. There are things that, again, we're talking about doctrine. There are things I have never done, I will never do. And there are things that are totally out of order. I don't think it is right. You know why? Because, in fact, let's not even discuss why it is right, but why it is wrong. Because, there's something about spirit. Are you getting my point? When Jesus talked about the widow's mite, I preached the principle of the widow's mite before. The widow's mite, there's something about that widow's mite. All right? It's a spirit that it carries. All right? But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about, what Christians are supposed to do is to just teach the correct doctrine. Don't look for a big man. Don't look for a rich man. As a preacher, as the head of such a network, or whatever it is, what do you do? Teach the correct doctrine. Again, if you're a Christian, just a believer, you're not the one teaching now. What will step you into those realms in life is to believe the correct doctrine. It doesn't matter who your father is. It doesn't matter whether your father never left the village, never went to school, doesn't know what is going on. It does not matter. Hey, let me tell you also, it does not matter whether you went to school or not. It doesn't matter. We're not talking about how skilled you are in doing business. We are talking about what exactly it is that you have believed. If it is the doctrine of God that you have believed, if that word, I was using abundance as an example, if that word has come into your life, I said something like that, was it here I said it? That the word is alive and active. When we say the word is alive and active, what it means is that if you believe that word, read Isaiah chapter 34. It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this will fail. Are you getting my point? He said, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit has gone out and it has what? Gathered. That is, if you believe the correct doctrine and you speak the right words, no matter how unqualified you are, those things that you have believed, they will come to pass. That's why, when I first mentioned that TBN spends $1 million a day, people say, what? But I told you, Bill Gates could have paid for 10 years from 1 year's earning. So you realize that it's a small thing for God to do. What am I talking about? We don't form our desires by, you look outside, hey, somebody has bought a car. I start praying in the name of Jesus, I need a car. No, forget all of those things. Look, honestly, just read your Bible. That's the summary. Let me just put it like that. Just do what? Read your Bible. Listen to preaching. Listen to the word of God. Look. One day you wake up in the morning and say, wait. The word of God says that it is not good for a man to be alone. Therefore, I'll make him help. I'll make a help meet for him. You just think about it for a moment. Say, what is it, self? I think at this stage in life, I think this help is just appropriate. You say the next day, a young lady that missed her road will just knock on your door. Please, I'm looking for direction to this place. And it's Holy Spirit that sent her. He said, arise, kill and eat. It's called the word became what? Flesh. I'm telling you. Let's go back to that. Use that example of that word of abundance I talked about. That man of God was saying, if somebody had taught it to him and his heart had been opened and he had imbibed it, that story would not have been necessary in that period. What he was telling about needing $80 and getting $81. He would not have been able to remember what he needed. Because of what? Abundance. He would have met his own need, met the needs of other people. If the word enters, what Satan tries to do to us in life is to distract us. They think, look, you know, Christianity, I told you, you are not a normal person. Are you getting my point? Things don't happen to you normally. Christians don't prosper because they are connected. They know people. No, they prosper because they believe the word of prosperity. That's all. Satan wants to tell you that, listen, the problem is that you don't know people. So people wake up in the morning, you don't have a good degree. There was a time everybody say, if you can just get an MSc from UK, you will get a good job in Nigeria. It works for a season. Now, bring an MSc from Mars. Nobody's employing you. You know why? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry now has it. And the UK people say, Mercy money. They began to sell it online. You can get an MSc from the University of Liverpool from Nigeria. It's not free. It's £10,000 and more. If you don't believe, they so want it that go to University of Liverpool website, put in your phone number, they will call you. They put it there. Put your phone number, we will call you. Why are they calling you? It's business. They say these Africans, they want UK degree. So now every Jack has an MSc from UK now. Nobody hiring again. So what do we need? We now need PhD from Australia. And you see Christians are running up and down, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I told you before, the head does not wag. It is the tail that wags. Oh, God, don't come. Fing, 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 like this. It is tail that wags. When you're running up and down, the world prospers like this, run that way. You're not a head. This is how Christians prosper. They believe the truth. And the word becomes flesh. Are you getting my point? And you say, money will not drop from me from above. I didn't say so. I said, the world starts arranging your own events for you. And after a while, somebody starts describing your events as the way to prosperity. They've missed it again. Please, I hope you're following my point. What's the Christian's duty? Believe correct doctrine. What do you do? Believe the correct doctrine. That's why I wrote the book, Should I Say Yes? A lot of people are praying about marriage matter and all of that. They don't believe anything. In fact, God said, if I give this girl a husband, two people go die. That is, God don't look out. It's in the interest of peace and tranquility. Leave her alone. That is, and I pray in the name of Jesus, I sow this seed towards marrying before December. God is looking. Marrying before December. If I marry you before December, two people will die in January. I ain't killing nobody yet. Say, elevate the valley. Bring down the hill. Make a smooth path for the Lord in the wilderness. Then the glory of God will be revealed. As our Christians get things in life, when they are transformed, all right, from inside, the word of God forms their desires. I was saying to you earlier, that somebody now gave me a book, Childless But Not Less. I said, where in the word of God is that preached? You want to rationalize failure for me? Don't help me with that. At least wait for me to fail first. At the age of 95, you can come and preach that message to me. No, is it 95? 101. Because until I hit 100, Ain't shifting. At the 101, I'll read the book. Now there's no example in front of me to follow. I'll now buy it, How to Cope with Childlessness. You know why? Because the word becomes what? Flesh. He said, in fact, let me just read the scripture. He said, be careful how you hear. Because it's with the same thought. If I like the way Amplify says it, he said, with the same degree of thought and is the attention you give to the word, that determines the amount of virtue that will be revealed, that will be released to you. Let me read it from the Amplified. Mark chapter 4. I'll read it first from the New American Standard, which I read normally. He said, verse 24, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. Let's read that from the Amplified. Amplified said, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you. Who hear? That's what he was saying. Now, listen to this. I like the way he said, be careful what you hear. It is not everything people present to you that you are supposed to accept. I like what Kenneth Hagin said. Once they told him that as you are growing older, you start forgetting things. You know, people believe that. People believe it. You know, at my age, I don't remember things much anymore. And then you see a young boy, spiritually speaking, he's a young boy. He's just about 50 years of age. And I just said, at my age, I don't remember things anymore. By the time he's 60, at my age, I don't remember things anymore. And his brain is hearing it. So his brain starts forgetting. His brain starts shrinking. And by the time he's 100, he won't make it to 100. He will have so forgotten how to live. He won't make it to 100. By the time he's 70, he can't recognize his children. And it's a matter of pride. You know, the other day, I saw Mike. I did not even know it was Mike. But laughing at bad thing. You've been laughing at bad thing. I had nonsense. Kenneth Hagin said he was reading one day and he saw where Jesus was telling the parables about the parable about Lazarus and the rich man and Abraham. And Abraham said to the rich man, son, remember. Before then he had read in, I think, Reader's Digest, that as you grow older, you know, because of my profession, I can give you all the lies we tell ourselves about it. Your vessels start getting sclerosed, blood supply to the gray matter starts reducing, then ischemia. Tell your neighbor it's a lie. It's a fast lie. Are you saying that they don't dissect the brain and see? They see it because they believed it. The word becomes what? Flesh. It will become plaque in your brain. If you believe it. Can you say it will start believing it? Then one day read the Bible. And he said, son, remember. I said, wait, these people are dead. They were outside their physical body. And if you know medicine well, biology, you know the brain rots fast. If a man dies now, keep his body here, come back tomorrow. Outwardly, see the body intact. Open that head. Water. The brain rots very fast. So Kenegan said, how can a man who's dead remember? Then it dawned on him that you don't remember with your brain. The memory does not lie in the brain. It lies somewhere else. That's why a man can be out of the body and they'll be telling him, son, remember. So he told himself, no matter how old I get, I ain't forgetting nothing. And as an old man, he used to tell stories of 60 years ago as if they happened yesterday. I tell people, don't let them lie to you that you forget as you grow older. If you believe it, you will forget as you are growing older. You will start forgetting. Why? Because what you believe becomes what? Flesh. As a 90-year-old man, listen, this is how I'm going to preach. I will stand like this. Don't give me chair. I ain't sitting down until I finish preaching. I'll stand like this for 2 full hours. I will remind you of that time because you'll be alive and well too. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, I'll remind you of that time when I was telling you that if you live long enough, You will see more than you ever imagined. And you will not say yes, yes. And so one boy will come, and that's your grandson. He's now an MD of one multinational. Your grandson. Why? Because the word will become flesh. Let me tell you the truth. If you believe the truth, you won't die. You know why? You know why you can't just die like that? Because the word must manifest. It must. That's why when Abraham, they said, go and sacrifice your son. He said, we'll kill him now. But the word must still manifest. So he said that me and this lad will go, we'll sacrifice and we'll return to you. Why? Because the word said, in Isaac will your seed be. We're talking about learning and praying. Our prayer points are not stimulated by desires, natural desires. No. They are stimulated by the word that has what? Entered. Don't let anybody make excuses for Satan in your life, because what will happen is that you start having, you start, what they are doing, they are eroding your faith. God helped me so strongly those days. When every young man in Nigeria, my age, I don't come up for that age group now. When our, you know, early 20s, every day people analyze the troubles in the country. They analyzed why nothing can ever work. And while they are watching, people are prospering. Amen. Things are working. Amen. Yes, you don't realize things are working. You will look back and say, when last did they take this life? That's when you realize that they have not taken your life in the mouth. Maybe let's just give you a few months. Maybe in 6 weeks, that's not blinked. Then you go and put it off. Lest you start thinking you are dead. You know what I'm saying? You heard the stories before of one man who told his children how heaven, trying to explain to children how nice heaven is. He said, Nepal not the quench light for there. Water always runs, food there plenty. The place is fine. You don't see refuse on the road. So the man described to the children, heaven, you want to go to heaven? How many people want to go? Yeah, they put up their hands. Yeah, you will give your life to Christ. You know, when the children give their life to Christ at the age of five, I always laugh. They will do anything the father says, don't worry about that. All right, they give their life to Christ. So one day, the man had money, carry children, go to America. He didn't say anything, no. When are we going to heaven? He said, when we'll have died, we'll go to heaven. So the children all agreed. So one day they went to America. Woke up, everywhere fine. Well, no refuse on the road. The roads were good. First day, you know, quench light. Anytime they open the tap, water they flow. Second day, they not quench light. Anytime they open the tap, water they flow. Third day, the children looked at each other and said, we must be dead. They went to the father and said, tell us exactly, when did we die? Was it when we entered that place? Because this is heaven. We must have died. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what have I said today? Let me just summarize. I just looked at my watch now. I've overshot my time. What have I said today? Listen, when we imbibe the word of God, we discover the things that have been given to us. Are you getting my point? We realize the things that are those things that are the wheat that God sowed into our lives, and we reject the things that the devil is trying to sow into our lives. We don't make excuses for Satan just because we are not yet experiencing the things that God has spoken. As we interact with God's word, the word enters into us and it brings forth desires. Are you getting my point? And once we discover those desires, that is what it means to pray according to the will of God. And then we have an answer to our prayers. Are you getting what I'm going to explain there? That is, the word becomes flesh. Let's not ever forget, we must be careful what we are listening to. Don't let the world sell you ideas that will bring short, all right, the glory that God prepared for you. Anything you discover in the word of God, that becomes your prayer point. The will of God is what? Is written. The will of God is written. Stability of faith is determined by what you are hanging that faith on. Are you getting my point? If you hang it upon what the word of God says, you get me? Then your faith will be stable. You will not be a double-minded man or a double-minded woman, unstable in all the ways so that God cannot give anything to the fellow. No. Your heart will be stable because it is hanging upon the word of God. I hope I've made my point today. Maybe next time, I wanted to conclude this today. I just remember one thing I have not preached on, so I'll do that next time. Because the Bible makes it clear there are things we should not pray about. There are things we must not pray about. There are things we can pray about. And there are things we must pray about. You understand? There are things that he will not do except we make statements concerning them. But there are things he said, don't bother about it. Though if you must say anything, it comes up, just make a declaration, make a confession, utter a prophetic utterance, and don't make it a matter of prayer. Don't get down home, as an example, and start praying. Call your wife and your children, or your singleness, you are a single person, you stay there, you say, okay, tonight I will not sleep until God promises, or until God gives me the revelation that I will own a house. That's not a prayer point. It's a very stupid prayer point, you understand? There are prayer points you must never have. Tonight, all my enemies, they will somersault and die. It's against the will of God. It's a foolish prayer point. Churches shouldn't gather around on the somersaulting and the scattering and dying and the back to senderness of their enemies. Those things are not the will of God. Are you getting my point? You see, when Solomon did not ask for those things, God said, you mean you did not ask? I will give them to you. That is, there are things you ask for, and God said, foolish boy, give him anyway. But his prayer is a prayer of foolishness. Do you understand my point? Yes, we'll discover. And even, listen, next time, maybe if I remember, if I forget, this will remind me before I start teaching. You even be careful. As Christians, stop making vows to God. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Say, God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. Because I will slap you. Did I tell you I was lacking something? I told you I was broke. But if you give me 1 million, I'll give you 100,000 naira offering. Okay, since I have the 1 million, I'll just keep it. No, be so. Give you 1 million, you give me 100,000. Hey, it's my own. Now let me have a cookie. Which kind of arrangement with that one? It's a nonsense arrangement. Don't vow any rubbish vow. You get my point? Don't go and vow things you will regret. The Lord is good. With God, you know, all those negotiations are not necessary. Just discover the will of God, pray about them, and forget it there. All right, the Lord is good. I hope you learned something today. If you did it, at least you laughed a bit today. The Lord is good. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. Thank you because your word is yeah and amen. Thank you because your word is recorded. Thank you because your will is recorded for me to read, understand. Maybe next time I'll remind us again. He said he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, as many as received him, as many as, that is the word of God is Jesus. You see, to the Jew, God says something. He said he went to them, they did not accept it. As many as received it, that to them that word will be manifested. I just give the Lord thanks. Father, I thank you because I have received him. I have received the word of God.